Give her a new one.
Cookie! Yeah.
Scott, are you recording?
I am recording as of now.
Ooh, Scott sounds like he's recording. Is Neil recording?
I've been recording.
Ooh.
Didn't you hear my voice get all serious?
I see. So
did you record me screaming
my
cookie?
Podcaster voice.
Screaming cookie? Did you scream cookie?
Yeah. We recorded it.
Sweet. So as you guys should know, that Lizzie screamed cookie for the Fancy Ramen Podcast, episode 38, October 8th, 2017. I'm Cookie.
Wait, what?
I'm Scott.
I'm Neil.
And I'm Lizzie.
And it's actually episode 35.
That's what I said. What'd I say?
38?
Sweet. October
38, 8th. Man, you're skipping.
I know. We're doing a lot better.
Are you the cookie that came from the future, like 3 weeks in the future?
Yeah.
He's the cookie that needs glasses.
So did you kill your former self, like the present time cookie? Or did
that's the only way it works. And I buried his body.
Her body.
Her body. Oh my God.
Oh my gosh. The plot's getting way more complex.
Cookie's now having, I know, the plot thickens.
So yeah, it's October 8th. So what have you guys been up to aside from video games?
Me and the wife have been watching this cartoon that's new on Netflix called Big Mouth. It's a coming-of-age story.
Which you love.
Which I love.
Yeah, those are his favorite.
That's my jam. It's coming-of-age story. So it's about three Jewish kids living in the suburbs of New York City.
Are they all Jewish?
Yeah, they're all Jewish. At least I think the cool one's Jewish too, but we know the main character's Jewish. Anyway, so three Jewish kids and they're going through puberty. So it starts off with you introduced the first guy who's actually going through puberty. So he's got this hormone monster who everyone knows because everyone that's older than 13 who's going through puberty had to have met the hormone monster. And he kind of just ravages the guy with perverted thoughts and boners.
Like, it's a real monster.
Right.
It's
that he actually
imaginary.
Talks to.
That he talks to, that other characters talk to.
Yeah.
That, ghosts talk to. They're ghosts.
But, his friend hasn't hit puberty yet, so he doesn't see him all the time.
But sometimes he does see
right.
him.
Right.
Because he's on the verge of
right.
puberty.
And right. then eventually he gets an interview with the hormone monster. Because he's like, hey, I think I'm ready to go through puberty now. And the hormone monster literally takes him into an office and he's like, so, what makes you think that you're ready for puberty?
I take it this
his
is not
voice
a...
voice is cracking the whole time. Mm-hmm.
So this is not a cartoon for kids.
It is not a cartoon for kids.
No.
One of the characters is a female and she gets her first period while wearing white shorts on vacation.
Although sometimes it's I almost wish teenagers would be able to, or people going through puberty would be able to watch it because they would know how
life is.
Yeah, how awful things can be and that it's okay.
Yeah. So the female character, when she finally gets her first period, her hormone monster, is she called a hormone monster as well?
Yeah.
Okay. Her hormone monster is a female version of the main hormone monster guy. And she's just like, yeah, you're going to scream at your mom and laugh at her tears. And she's like, but I don't want to scream at my mommy. And then all of a sudden, her mom walks into the room and she's like, shut the hell up, Karen!
Shannon.
Shannon. So she starts calling her mom by her first name.
Does everyone share the same monster in terms of gender? So all the guys share the same?
Kind of.
There are two male hormone monsters.
One is a shitty one.
One is a really shitty one. And the other was, the main one is, a good
normal.
Hormone monster. A normal person. His name is Maurice. They just call him Maury. You gotta watch the trailer.
Yeah,
you have to
I'm
watch the show.
It.
It's actually pretty funny.
It's a pretty unique premise, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But wouldn't a lot of life's complications and difficulties be easier or at least alleviated to some degree if we just taught lessons through entertainment?
I like that. Well, even I like Drunk History. They teach you things while still being entertaining.
Right.
So I always love that.
I got half of my dictionary from Tom and Jerry cartoons. The ones that
they
used to
God.
Talk.
Education through entertainment is not a topic that I expected us to bring up today, but I was just thinking about it before I got onto the podcast. I was like trying to scrub up on my French skills. And so I started a Duolingo account and just went through and did some like testing. I was like, oh my gosh, I already wanted to do this, but the fact that it's sort of gamified makes it even easier to sink a little more time into it. Right. And commitment.
Yeah.
Like, I've actually been thinking about this quite a bit today. It's so nice that it just happened to pop up in conversation. Yay. But I'm totally on board. Education through like entertainment or media can be a really powerful tool, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I learned most of my critical thinking and like story analysis, I should say, from like JRPGs. So,
oh yeah. When I got my Game Boy Color, I got the Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening Deluxe, and that had enough dialogue and vocabulary that I didn't know that I started to look a lot of things up and ask questions, and I think I improved my reading level quite a bit by playing that game.
That'll do
it. It's really cool to think about how games and other media actually help us grow, especially when we're younger.
And then you came up with the terrible analysis that the seagull is Marin, or Malin, whatever her name is in that game. Thanks, Scott.
What seagull?
At the very end, when Link wakes up and it turns out he's just been on a shipwreck, there's a seagull that flies overhead. And Link is all like, wow, things are great, even though I've been fucking shipwrecked and probably won't survive.
Yeah, even though I got hit by lightning and floated in the ocean with a coma.
I did not finish Link's Awakening.
Spoilers. That game's very that got different dark from some of the other games.
Well, it's a lot of fun. So the opening of Link's Awakening is the storm hitting his ship.
Storm at sea.
And then you wake up on the shores, presumably after the storm, but it's all just a fever dream while he's actually, adrift.
Yeah. Nope. Yeah. Did not
finish conscious
that.
Mind is the wind fish and you're trying to awaken it.
Did you guys know, at least if I'm not mistaken, that's the same Link from Link to the Past?
Link's Awakening?
Yeah, the timeline's really weird with Legend of Zelda. I try not to get into it anymore.
I do.
Especially after I progress far enough in the Breath of the Wild to realize that it can't be
the
very beginning timeline.
It's not. It's when he, it's the failed timeline.
Are you sure it's not everything together?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It's the
I just
failed
know
one.
That it
all right, hold
fits.
On, hold on. So don't go into spoilers for me, but all I'm going to ask is that there is evidence that shows it certainly seems like it could be...
In all three?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's actually just the failed timeline?
The all the evidence, the most like crucial evidence, points to the failed timeline. So it hasn't been officially announced yet, but failed timeline is what most people are going with now.
They just happen to have some tie-ins at certain points where they mention like Link's reincarnation, I guess, being a Twilight hero and a hero of time and things like that.
I want to say the big thing is in the failed timeline.
Which implies the timeline. Oh, yeah.
In the failed timeline, the big thing is the failed timeline is when Ganon actually relinquishes his human form.
But Link's to the Past is also the failed timeline.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a form of some sort in that.
Yeah. So eventually, after so many times of not, he actually gets rid of his human form. Hence why Calamity Ganon no longer.
Ganon or Ganondorf, so to speak.
Yeah. He's not Ganondorf Dragmire anymore. He's just Ganon. He's just the pig guy. And Link to the Past only has Ganon in it. It doesn't have Ganondorf Dragmire, the human.
Ganondorf came about in Ocarina of Time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yes.
At least when I say that, I mean introduced it into the series chronologically, not in the actual timeline, but...
I think it's so messy, though, because then Ganondorf just happens to look like Demise from Skyward Sword at the beginning of the timeline. I find it too confusing.
I thought that was intentional, wasn't it?
I think it all is
I totally think it is intentional, but it's just one of those things where, like, once the timeline has fragmented so many different ways, I don't bother keeping track of it until I have a list that someone else has made with all of their cross-referencing done for me before I start to talk about it.
So you are not going to talk about the Kingdom Hearts timeline then?
That's right.
And I would almost argue that Shin Megami Tensei's timeline is even worse because there are like four or five different alternate realities within that timeline now that hold each of the game series more or less. Like you have one for Persona, you have one for the main SMT series, except there are some versions or SMT titles that happen in standalone universes or timelines, and then you have the Devil Survivor ones, or is it Devil Child? Like the one that was for the GBA.
It is Devil Survivor, I believe.
Okay. Devil Summoner, that's another series. But like apparently there's enough evidence to map everything out that I'm just not privy to, because
that it's all just in one autistic kid's mind.
I mean, I kind of hope that's the ultimate connection, and that child's mind has actually come up with all fiction, so every piece of fiction has somehow tied together through this character.
Besides that, I also binged the, not to get super off topic, but back on topic, kind of. Last night, I decided to watch that ballroom dance anime you were talking about, and I watched the first episode and was like, okay, I can get behind this. Then I watched the second episode. I was like, okay, might as well watch the third episode. I was like, okay, now it's getting interesting. It turns out what makes a really good slice of life anime is if the main character is a monster.
A monster.
So he is just straight up like his observational skills to be able to like break down a dance.
Yeah, yeah.
That makes him a monster. So as a main character, he's like too good, which keeps it interesting. So it's like, okay, now he needs to do like, he can think about what he's doing, but this anime kind of breaks down to where it goes where like he knows the steps, but his body can't keep up with what he needs to do.
Have you caught up to like episode 13 or 14?
Yeah, I'm at episode 14. And that was all last night.
What makes it really interesting too is that the character is very flawed as well. Like he has a lot of upside, but like in this case, apparently in ballroom dance, like the leader or the male figure's ability is what drives most of your score. And he doesn't lead.
Yeah.
Like he's a bad leader. He just knows how to, what's the term? Adapt really well. Mm-hmm. But so like the ultimate situation they're in right now is just really cool because he's gotten this far basically on the coattails of the partners that he's been dancing with, and now he's in a situation where the partner like can't follow
because she's primarily been a leader throughout her childhood. So yeah,
it's good.
So I'm interested in it. You mentioned that it had like bad animation, I don't mind it for this because they don't really show much movement in the dance.
It's not bad animation. It's recycled animation when they can, and it's a lot of still frames, but the artwork is really beautiful, and maybe not beautiful, that's not the right term here.
Unique.
It's
unique and at times monstrous.
Like when the character gets like super into the tango at the first season, when like his eyeballs do crazy things, and the main guy when he's like swaying like a C for his waltz, are crap, when he was partnering up with the one chick and he turned Super Saiyan for a second. Without the yellow hair.
I sent a panel to Scott the other day, and it's...
Yeah, Neil hyped it up for me.
Oh, that panel? Yeah.
Yeah, where the character is like, he's in the hospital, spoilers, not the main character, anyone you guys know at this point, but he's in the hospital after a horrific accident, and he's laughing fiendishly, and the next panel on the page after shows him like with this devilish menacing grin. Even though dance has made him miserable, he still can't get away from it. It's, I don't know, it's very JoJo-esque in ways too, in terms of like the style being elegant yet grotesque at the same time. That's enough about anime though.
That's pretty much my non-video game week.
Well, what about you, Liz? Have you been enjoying watching Ballroom or watching Cookie watch Ballroom?
So I can't get into it. It's just not my thing. I don't really like ones that are animes that are like sporty and competitive and like that. So I don't really.
Wasn't Yuri on Ice also pretty sporty?
I didn't watch that.
Oh, really?
No,
that was just me.
I if there's a quote-unquote sport anime to watch, I would recommend Yuri on Ice.
Really?
It's pretty good. The animation is fucking bad. Like, I can't get over how bad it is.
You want bad animation? watched the first episode of Yo-Kai whatever with Jaden Smith and all those people.
Well, maybe we all will.
Oh my God. Can we not? God, it is so bad.
It's the worst.
It is awful.
It's like, it's very generic. Just like, you know, when you first learn how to draw an anime character's face?
It's
that like generic.
Yeah. Is it?
It's that.
Is it kind of like
with bad animation and very bad voice acting?
Yeah. Voice acting and dialogue.
Is it like if the artist from Boondocks decided to just go straight up anime?
It's worse than Boondocks. No. Like, it's so simple.
Boondocks has like a feel and a style to it.
And they have interesting character designs too, which add to it.
This does not. Mm-hmm. And like, this, the only thing that I can draw from Boondocks to this is that they say the N-word every once in a while.
Do they? I forgot that.
Yeah, they said the N-word like 2 times in the first episode.
In Boondocks or Neo-Yokyo?
Neo-Yokyo. Boondocks is...
Do they not say the N-word in Boondocks?
They say it all the time.
That's the only thing that's similar.
Some episodes.
Yeah. That's the only thing that's really similar is that like the main lead is a black character, so they're all just like... They're kind of ghetto-ish. But it's really...
But he's super rich. I don't know. I was like, ugh.
It's like, Jaden Smith sounds bored, and I was bored watching it.
Right?
It was like this really, like, supposedly intense thing happening. And he's like, oh, yes, you know, I just need... It's a pretentious line, pretentious line, pretentious line. I'm like, okay, yes. Yes, Jaden Smith, that is what you sound like normally. Please do something. Show emotion.
Can you also whip your hair back and forth, Jaden Smith?
He cannot. Only his little sister can.
Yeah, and it's back in Firth, man.
It was bad. But yes, I don't really get into like those, I don't know, competitive animes, I guess.
She likes her... I don't know what kind of animes
she like funny out. Ones.
There's a new one out that is about a neat, N-E-E-T woman. That's like a corporate dropout at 30 that just started playing an MMO and is now like developing an online relationship as a guy character with like a cute girl character.
Nice.
And who later is going to turn out to be a guy.
That's exactly what they have foreshadowed.
I mean, it has to be it, right?
Yeah. It could maybe be something that would be like full of promise if you took it in a different direction, but this is totally one of those like lighthearted comedy rom-coms. Maybe rom-com, I'm not sure at this
point. What's the name of it?
I have no idea. I watched a bunch of first episodes of anime this week. So.
Oh, okay.
It's actually a dog because no one knows you're a dog on the internet.
I thought she was supposed to be a centaur.
That's right.
Did you hear about the Tinder things happening in Omaha?
What's happening on Tinder?
No. I guess there were some dudes pretending to be hot chicks on Tinder and told the other dudes to meet him at a park and then robbed them.
Oh, okay.
Which I'm like, the other guys that actually met him weren't thinking, because no girl in her right mind would ever try to meet a guy she doesn't know. Where no one else can see them, you know?
Hey, come meet me in a dark alley.
Right? Like, that's
I'm
not
sexy
logical.
And single.
Yeah, remember to dress really nice with your wallet.
Don't people know that caffeine dreams exist for this reason?
Whenever you want to meet up with a sketchy person, you invite them to caffeine dreams.
Yep. It's a coffee shop in
Midtown. Oh, nice.
I mean, if you want to meet a sketchy person, you just go to Caffeine.
Or if you want to
not
be
talking
part
shit,
of
though,
a green
that
party.
Is my favorite coffee shop in Omaha. So,
was the one where you did the green party thing, right?
Oh yeah, that's where I got.
Yeah. Caffeine
Dreams became an unofficial sponsor of the green party.
you were just like the philosophical man reading a book. Man.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody has to, you know, be a symbol at some point in their life. I never thought it would happen, you know, in my mid-20s on a couch in a coffee shop, but...
I hope a photographer
took a picture.
We
don't get to choose when history calls upon us.
So, Scott, what have you been up to? You were sick a little earlier, and...
Yeah, I was sick, so I actually had a pretty boring week. I spent most of it unconscious in bed, and that's actually fine because I've recovered more or less now.
Yay.
Still pumping fluids and, you know, eating cough drops like candy. But besides that, I haven't done too much. I went out to a town called Hamilton yesterday. I have some family that lives out there, and they have like a Apple Day kind of festival. Mm-hmm. So
it's where you guys like celebrate Apple products, I take it?
Yeah, it's like the Apple Jack Festival that happens in Nebraska City, I'm sure, everywhere else. What are you laughing about?
I couldn't keep a straight face. I was referring to like Apple software, hardware.
Oh,
you said Apple products. Yeah, and then they just kept going.
Apple products. Apple butter. Baking apples.
Applesauce.
Caramel apples. Apple sauce.
IMAX.
Apple pie.
Apple vinegar.
Apple iPhone. Yeah. They're all owned by the same company, don't you know? Apple Recording Studios, Apple Software, Apple's the food. It's all the Illuminati, man. Mm. And so we went to go celebrate that yesterday, which was just, it was a really, really bad time for me that day because I completely underestimated my wardrobe.
What? And
you were just not dressed up to the occasion?
I did not dress nearly warm enough for it. My dress was for the 55 degree high that we were going to have that day. And we ended up getting like cold wind and rain the whole time I was there. And I forgot my jacket in my car.
Oh, no.
Wait, and your jacket was for the 50. Your jacket was bone. Your jacket was not for the 55 degree high. What is a 55 degree high? What do you wear for that, Scott?
I had a shirt on and then a Under Armour thermal quarter zip, and so that should have been enough. And then jeans, which were fine.
What are you like?
Yeah, I mean,
we're all just eyeing each other at this point. We're like, fucking Under Armour? Like, what are you planning on doing at this Apple Festival?
Dude, I live in frigid Montana. There's almost no period of time now where I don't have some sort of Under Armour thermal gear on. I cannot even count how many pieces of thermal wear I have. But it's like a permanent part of my body now. It's as essential as my skin. But anyway, I got rained on. I was freezing. I tried to use an ATM and my card wouldn't read. So then I tried to look for another one, couldn't find it. So I was starving for a while.
Who were you with? Did they just abandon you?
It was my family. So it's, you know, they.
So yeah.
They couldn't like loan you some money for food?
To take care of me. My dad finally took pity on me and gave me a little bit of cash to like get something in my stomach after I was already half frozen and hadn't eaten in, I don't know, like 12 hours.
And you're
like,
super skinny. I mean, you might as well have been dying.
Yeah, exactly. I burn all my calories staying warm out here anymore.
Hey, Scott.
I bought a whole loaf of bread and just started eating it. Just started chewing on one end of the bread.
You bought a loaf of bread?
Yeah, it was the most cost-effective answer.
Oh, man.
So, Scott, now I have to ask. You know how you've been training for being trapped in the Canadian wilderness for the long dark?
Yeah.
How do you think that'll turn out now that you were almost starved and entered into the long dark in a heavily populated area?
Well, if I could have looted somebody for clothing, it would have been nice. There weren't any wolves, so I think I actually might have done a little bit better. Had things gotten any more dire, I would have found my pry bar and started, you know, getting the essentials equipped.
The problem is that your prying skill is going to be too low to really do much. Even Will McKenzie has higher prying skill than you.
That's not true. I think desperation adds quite a bit to how well you can do it. Speaking of my attempts at surviving in the wilderness of, I guess, downtown Hamilton, what have you been up to, Neil? Have you had your life on the line at all this week?
I don't think I've necessarily been in a dire situation that involved needing to roll some dice to see about lighting a fire. But
You don't roll dice, Neil. You rub sticks. What the hell are you trying to do?
But I have been playing some Breath of the Wild, and I know I'm pretty late to the party. I started over just so that way I didn't feel lost with what I was doing last.
But that's the beauty of that game is like
you never know what you were doing.
Only
last.
One set objective, and that's defeat Ganon. Like you can do whatever the hell you want otherwise.
Right, but you set up goals as you go through, and
no.
Neil's got his checklist that he sets up.
I got a little bit of a checklist on things I want to do. I see a mountain and I'm like, oh, I wonder what's over on that mountain, yada yada. But
I write that down on the list.
I wanted to describe a couple of ways I had died for the 2 hours I played Thursday night. The first was I ran off of a cliff while admiring the scenery and graphics. I drowned while looking at fish and water graphics. I was watching Link's excellent ragdoll physics after blowing myself up with a bomb while trying to use multiple tablet skills in quick succession.
Using those multiple tablet abilities is probably the best expression of skill at that game. Like when you see people able to use the tablet really effectively, that's how I can always see people's growth with that game.
Yeah, just like even mastering the ability to switch between bombs quickly and keeping track of what bombs are where. Because
yeah, totally.
When you're fighting enemies that are too strong for you, sometimes running and dropping bombs is the best way to go.
I like to juggle them between the bombs, like roll one down and then have a square one sit somewhere else. And so I blow them from one bomb into another bomb, and then that bomb will blow them either back that way or in a different direction. I was getting to the point where I was setting up enemies by freezing them with a blizzard rod and then creating like a chain of bombs to like knock them off of mountainsides just because I didn't want to deal with them.
It's pretty good.
Smart.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely engendered some creativity.
Along with that, though, I did want to follow up real quickly on heat signature. I think I might have left the wrong impression when I was talking about it last week in that the access to the four characters you have, they're procedurally generated. And when one of those characters dies, the spot gets filled by another character. So this game can be played ongoing ad nauseum.
Okay.
And also, there are difficulty modes that harder than quote-unquote hard. Like the one I just came across was Audacious, and I was not having much fun, in a good way, playing that mode. So Heat Signature seems to have a lot more legs left in it. So if you're interested in getting it, it seems like there's a lot of life that game has to offer.
It's on my wish list, so the next time it goes on sale.
And speaking of audacious difficulty, I picked up Cuphead, which is a run-and-gun game styled in an old 20s, 30s cartoon aesthetic, complete with film and TV artifact and noise emulation. This is apparently a game that is like a big deal. Like people have been talking about it for quite a while now, and it's taken a few years more than a few years at this point, to come out. At first I was like, I don't necessarily see what the hype is all about, but once I finally once I picked it up to play with Tiffany, that game is super fun.
How could you not see what the hype was about? Did you not see the animation?
I mean,
everything looks hand-drawn. Mm-hmm. It looks like a cartoon.
I remember seeing it. It looks cool.
That's the only reason I want to play it.
Like, the style's there, but at the same time, I don't think style alone makes a good game.
True.
Like, I really think jazz punk is cool, but I also will probably never play jazz punk again. That game's all about style.
Would you play Cyberpunk?
Is that
2077?
Is that the one that's coming out by the Witcher creators?
Yeah, the one that's coming out in 2077.
Project Red.
I haven't looked too far into that game yet to really know
what it's about
or what it's going to be. Is there anything out on the game?
No, just that trailer, that teaser trailer. It was the last thing I saw that we got in 2002, basically, with the girl getting shot in the face with the thing going off for the bullet ricocheting off of her cheek. Then you're like, oh, she's a robot. I think they followed up to that with another one that looks similar to that.
Man, I haven't even seen those.
Yeah.
That'd be an interesting game. But like the reason why I've embraced Cuphead so much is because it's just a really well-designed game. And they also know what they're doing, like in terms of expanding their gameplay beyond that of your Contra style run and gun, along with your standard, you know, jump, run, shoot. They've also added a few things that a lot of run and gunners don't have, like a dash ability. You also have a parry mechanic, which is whenever you see something that is pink, and it's a very noticeable pink, you can basically hit jump again in the middle of that said jump by that pink object, and your guy basically will slap or hit the object, parrying it. So if there's like a pink bullet or projectile coming at you, you jump mid-jump on it, you end up jumping a little further while destroying that projectile. And you also have these power-up systems, which allow you to equip four different items pertaining to your shot type, your secondary shot type, your supers, and then like a fourth one, which is based around utility or mobility. Like the one I've really preferred using is basically making your dash invulnerable. So it becomes kind of like a Dark Souls dash, I guess you could say, but not really at the same time. It's more, it becomes a teleport at that point. You become a puff of smoke and then you appear a little further in, but it's the exact same thing as if you would be dashing, except you don't take damage during that duration. But Tiffany, on the other hand, likes to use a automatic parry. So whenever she jumps and gets close to a pink thing, her character automatically parries it, so she doesn't have to time it. You also have things like super meter buildup, et cetera, et cetera. And then they take a lot of these interesting devices and make new game types out of it. So like while the game is predominantly boss encounter, boss encounter, boss encounter with a few like standard style modes or stages in between, you also have modes where you can only defeat enemies by parrying, or a mode where your guys jump into cartoony airplanes and it becomes a shoot 'em up or a shmup. That's a shmup, right? As opposed to...
I've never heard the word shmup.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a really, really fun game that also allows you to get back in the action when you die, because you will die or get a game over screen really often, but it takes literally less than a second to hit the retry, and the loading times are not bad at all. Like, I highly recommend at least looking at some trailers and seeing if this type of game is down your alley.
And it's not available on PS4?
Unfortunately not. It
just is just PC and Xbox?
Yep, correct. PC, so it's available on Steam and also the Windows Live Store, and then Xbox One. But the controller support seems to be fantastic. Not only can you map out basically any button to do whatever, my PS4 controllers work perfectly fine with Cuphead. So
nice. How much is it?
$20.
And you think it's worth it?
Yeah, I think so. Like, we spent maybe 3 hours playing that game yesterday, and we're still not through the first world. And I think there are four worlds. It's because it's that difficult.
So, do you guys have to buy two different copies?
No, it's only local couch co-op right now.
Okay.
Whereas they might be adding LAN or wide, or you know, Wi-Fi support at some point. Wi-Fi internet online support. Yeah.
Okay,
so then you just have your both PlayStation 4 controllers hooked up to your computer?
Yep, and then, like, I mean, if you haven't done this before, because I actually haven't tried to do it this way, where I would normally use DS4 Windows, which is a program that basically makes your controller like an extension of your keyboard, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up trying out the big screen, I think, or whatever they call it in Steam, that then allows you to go into...
You mean big picture mode?
Big picture, thank you. You then go into like your controller support through those menus, and you can actually map out multiple controllers. So it was actually a lot easier than I expected, and I had it up and running, being the first time I've ever tried it, in less than like 5 minutes.
Okay. Do you think it'll work well with a one Xbox controller, one PS4 controller?
I'm assuming so. I don't see any reason it wouldn't, because it identifies the two controllers separately. So okay. I could even name, like, the black PS4 controller I have is, or DualShock 4, is just called black DS4, and then you can do stupid things like change what color it is, or what color the light on it is.
Mm. Oh, and you then, can do all that in big picture?
Yep.
Nice. Okay. So this might be something me and Lizzie pick up for the PC as well.
Yeah, it's good. Scott, what have you been playing?
So, as we noted, I believe, in the last episode, being a proud owner of a Super Nintendo Classic Mini.
Way to rub it in.
Yeah, I know, no right? kidding.
Yeah, I realized that
Lizzie gave you the dirtiest look braggadocious.
But I'm just going to go with it. So I've got a SNES Classic, and I'm super excited about it. And so I've decided I'm going to try out some old... we had talked about this on previous podcast episodes a while back. That question, are the games that we remember from our childhood actually that good? Or is it nostalgia and, you know, rose-tinted glasses changing our perception of how good these games actually are? And since I actually have very little experience with some JRPGs that existed on the Super Nintendo I've decided to go ahead and take a crack at Secret of Mana, and then maybe later I'll try Final Fantasy III. And Secret I gotta say, for the game being as old as it is, it's pretty cool. Like, it still seems pretty fresh to me. It's certainly lacking in some areas. And I'm also, I should note that I'm trying to play this game two-player the whole time. So my sister and I are taking a crack at playing the game with two out of the three characters on the screen being controlled by human players. And I really do feel like this game is meant to be played with the three players, since the limitations of the USB ports only allow for two. We're doing that. But it's really fun. It's the first action RPG I'm aware of on the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. I don't know any others.
Probably Final Fantasy Mystic Quest.
Okay. Yeah. So I haven't, and I have, I think,
and that might
admitted
not be right.
on several occasions that I have very little experience with the Final Fantasy franchise, besides the first and Final Fantasy. But playing this game, I found that it was really pretty tight. As soon as I started playing it, I noticed that you automatically dodge and have animations for it, and you automatically block and have animations for it in this free movement combat, and you can't just spam attacks. You have to wait for your, I guess, attack meter to charge to 100% before you can make an attack that does full damage and has, I think, a full chance to hit your opponent. You can charge attacks to do special attacks, and I haven't gotten to the point where I've been able to use spells yet, but I'm very close to that, and I've already fought a couple bosses. So while I don't want to spoil too much about it, especially since I just started, this game has already got me quite into it. I'm enjoying it quite a bit. The story's really quick and humorous at times, but otherwise the writing's nothing special whatsoever. I don't think I even really bother to read more than what I need to.
The translation's not very good
to know where I'm going. Yeah, it's just not like the story for this game is not the selling point, I think, by any measure. I'm enjoying it a lot by just figuring out, oh, where do I need to go next? Okay, shut up, upgrade my weapons, I'm out of here. Why did a boss all of a sudden appear?
That's me.
Very hectic. It actually moves really quick, and I like that too. Like, it's moved much faster than I expected for an RPG of that period of time. I remember other RPGs taking forever to get started, and this one just puts you right into the swing of things. So I'll have more thoughts as I continue to play the game and get further ahead. But the multiplayer is wonderful. It's such a great thing to be able to play an action RPG with another friend or, I guess, like partner in a couch co-op way. I haven't had a chance to really play any other games like that, and so I've really been digging it. And
like Four Swords seems to be the only one I can think of right now.
Yeah, and I had Four Swords, but you actually need some extra equipment to make that fly, too. You needed the... what is it? It was like a port that attached into your Game Boy and then into a controller slot for the GameCube. And so while I had that game, I only played it on my own. But it's a ton of fun. And I also really appreciate that these older games, it's very valuable to read the instruction booklet, because otherwise you have no idea what you're doing. So kudos to Nintendo for making those available, like the PDFs freely available on their website. Nice. Because otherwise I wouldn't know how to do half the things in this game, because very little is actually explained in game. I look forward to this being a good game. I hope so. And if it sucks, then you'll probably hear me talk about Final Fantasy III next time I've got time to talk about my SNES games.
You know, my coworker got an SNES, and he was saying that he's like showing his kid the games. Like, he's like, this is what I played when I was a kid. And it was so funny because he's like, so games used to be a lot harder back in the day, because his kid apparently super sucked at the games. Because, like, he's used to playing like Mario Kart, where you have the assist now and like things like that. So I don't know. I think.
Yeah, my experience with Ghosts and Goblins, or Super Ghosts and Goblins, reminded me how fucking difficult some of those games are. Yeah.
So I think there is kind of some truth to that, where I don't think it's just rose-tinted glasses. I think they're unique.
Scott, do you know how long it took to get to get your second party member?
It's pretty quick, but it still did take like maybe 15, 20 minutes of gameplay.
Oh, that's not that long. Okay.
No, it's not very long. And the other thing I should also note is reading the provided guide and then cross-referencing it with just a guide on another website, you can actually invite... There's three allies in the whole game, which is not spoiling anything, but you can invite one of the two allies in either order. So you have, for ease of reference, the boy, the girl, and the sprite. You start with the boy, and then you can recruit either the sprite or the girl, and then you can recruit the other one all within about an hour and a half worth of time, which is really nice.
Is it faster to get the sprite or the girl?
I got the girl first. Did you get the sprite first?
No, I usually get the girl first with the route.
Okay, yeah, so that makes sense. Yeah, it's nice that it's that quick to get another player in. And also that, like, my sister joined in after I had started the story, and she had missed maybe 10 minutes of the previous gameplay, and it was so easy to tell her, like, I'm a boy, I fell down a waterfall, I found a rusty-ass sword, I picked it up, and this man said, no, you fool! And I fought a boss, and now we're going to go get your character, I think. And that was it. Like, it was very easy to get her up to speed.
I wish it stopped at, I'm a boy, I fell down.
I fell down a waterfall, and here I am. I mean, that's really basically the opening of Undertale, right?
Exactly. Except
I'm a boy or girl that fell down a hole.
Gender non-specific character. I fell down a hole. This flower's really creeping me the fuck out. I left.
Oh, God.
I'm getting out of here.
That is out on PlayStation now.
Oh, yeah, it is.
You haven't... Do you know about... I feel like I ask you this every other week. I ask you if you know Undertale.
I know Undertale. I know the big thing of Undertale.
Okay.
I know that it freaked people out as much as Braid freaked people out.
How many big things, though? Because I think there are great twists all over in that game.
And the game is just funny as a whole. It's super charming. It's something like I would recommend picking up.
Oh, yeah. It's so entertaining. I want to get it for a friend of mine.
It's on my list of things to play eventually, but I'm never going to go out of my way to play it.
Okay.
It's like, yeah, I hear this is like a really good game. If I wanted to play it, I've got a very good PC here, and I've had access to like buy it for years.
That will not be needed to play it.
Yeah, I was trying to explain to someone, you can pretty much grab a laptop that's still functioning and you'll be able to play it.
Well, so while we're talking about these, you know, 8 or 16-bit in this case, or not in Undertale's case, but this game's case, Cookie, you've been playing an interesting game called Golf Story.
Oh my goodness, yes. It's everything I want it to be in a golf RPG game.
It's on the Switch?
Mm-hmm. So it is on the Nintendo Switch. The game starts off with you talking to a female who's yelling at you, telling you to grow up. Actually, no, the game starts off in the tutorial, which is you as a young boy learning how to golf with your father. After you play like two holes with your father, you wake up, a lady yells at you, tells you to grow up, and you're like, I'm going to pursue my dreams. I'm going to become a pro golfer, knowing that you haven't actually golfed since that time that you golfed with your father.
Wait, so is the woman...
Your wife, your ex-wife.
Oh, so by growing up, you're going to do maybe the most irresponsible thing ever.
Mm-hmm. So you go out and try and become a pro golfer. And so you're just doing like little mini fetch quests at first to like convince the coach at the local course to start training you and teaching you how to play. So everyone's like, you've got a really irregular swing. Great control. What the fuck is going on with everything else? And it's just, it knows it's a video game, and it knows that it's as tongue-in-cheek as it wants to be, so by the time you get to the first, like, tournament that you play in, your ex-wife is there, and you're like, oh no, what are you doing here? She's like, I got a real man now, blah, 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 and she says something, and all of a sudden, two commentators, like, you know how you've got the sports thing and, like, the two commentator guys announcing things? They're like, oh no, so what's your play for today? What are you going to do? And you think they're talking to your character? Then the female goes, oh, you know, I'm going to tell him about his insecurities and then I'm really going to drive it home.
Oh my God.
And they're like, oh, this is going to be a great match to show today. And she's like, and whether or not he wins or loses, I'm going home with half of his money anyway.
Wow.
Did she say you got sucked in?
No, that was not one of the puns that was used. So she doesn't say that.
But
a lot of characters say sucked in. just like the first character you meet, like, steals something. And as he's running away from, like, a cop or the ranger, he's like, sucked in! And just running away.
I think what I heard was that's an Australian thing.
Probably. I don't completely understand it.
What
the market
is that?
Said.
It's, I don't know. It's kind of like you got sucked into the joke or gag or whatever it was.
So there's
sucked
so,
in.
So I've solved a murder mystery. I just got done with a Metal Gear Solid like area of collecting golf balls from a bandit camp without having to get caught by any of the bandits as they're walking around.
Wow. It's hilarious.
This game sounds amazing.
I know.
I've done, I can't really call it archaeology because as soon as the character was like, oh yes, I need you to help me dig up old artifacts. He's like, oh, so you're an archaeologist. He's like, no, I have no idea what that is.
Wow.
I own a pawn shop.
So he's a scavenger?
Kind of. So it's like he makes you do things and he's like, hey, I need you to go find this treasure for me. And you're like, so at one point you go to a prestigious golf course, and their thing is you don't play the hole well, you play the hole like a gentleman. So scores of plus 5 or 6, so that's like a triple and quad bogey, are reasonable scores. Like the first hole, they're like, oh yeah, we usually use our putters for this entire hole.
Oh my
it's
God.
Just like, dude, this is a par 2 course. No.
We must be gentlemanly about this.
But yeah, so like when you need to play with them, they say you need antique clubs. So the guy, you go talk to the archaeologist guy and he's like, oh yeah, I know of a catch of clubs over there. You should go like use my club finder and go dig them up. So you dig up the first thing of clubs and he's like, oh man, look at these beauties. And you're like, ooh, how old are they? He's like, it's like, these are the blue tip models. They haven't made these in what? 4, 5, 6 product lines ago. So they're probably like 9 months old.
Wow.
Ancient in these times. And then you're like, I'm looking for something closer to 20 years old. It's very tongue-in-cheek and just got gags all over the place. It knows it's an 8-bit golf game. It's actually a really good golf game. There's I've done some lawn bowling in it. There's frothing, so frisbee golf.
Wow.
In it. You can play a game called Golf in it, which is a video game version of golf.
In even though it's a video game.
So is it the same play style? Or?
It's a slightly different play style. It's kind of the same exact game, except for super duper 2D. Think if you were playing a golf game on the Game Boy.
Okay.
Just Game Boy. Not Game Boy Color, not Game Boy Advance. Just Game Boy. And it's called Golf. I found, while digging up things in the archaeology, a hidden expansion pack that was never released, and I need to go talk to the guy to play that one. But I suck at Golf.
Golf?
It's G-A-L-F. But yeah, so you sign a really shitty contract, you're constantly under mind control. Like, one person's like, oh yeah, now you're gonna do whatever I say, and you're like, okay, yeah, I really want to do this now, thanks. So they're like, we know you have no choice because you want to progress with this video game. So we're just going to say you're easily influenced. Even your character's like, man, I'm really way too easily influenced. This is a terrible idea. Let's do it. Character was like, oh yeah, so I need you to go do this for me and agree to whatever that person's terms are. And the person was like, oh, if you beat me in this game of golf, you get this. Or if I beat you, you do whatever I want for the rest of your life. Yeah, this deal sucks for you. Of course. It's great. I thoroughly enjoy it, and it's actually a pretty solid golf game on top of that.
I think you've sold me on it. I definitely want to play it. Liz, did you play any games?
No, just Destiny and Splatoon. Nothing different.
Oh, there's a new Splatfest going on. Which are you going to choose?
Vampire.
Werewolves.
Well, what did you guys choose last time? Over or
invisibility
under?
Over...
Flight.
Flight.
That's we lost right. last time.
No, yeah, I thought the last Splatfest was... Oh, no, maybe this is just Japan, but what direction you put your toilet paper roll on?
I would totally do that one. Or I'd totally vote on that one. But
over?
Over, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, we're a house of overs.
You guys are heathens.
What? Under's wrong.
No, they don't
wrong.
Have cats.
Oh, okay, there. That's probably it.
That's exactly the explanation. The people who do it under have cats, and that's the smart way to do it. The people who do it over, which I am an over person, I should also say. I guess I shouldn't say that the under is the smarter way to do it, but I am a person who does it over because I don't have to worry about some cat pawing at my toilet paper roll and depleting the whole thing on the floor
okay, so,
at any given moment.
But what about having... terribility factor. I think going under, even without pets, ignoring mischievous creatures, with the under technique, you have the support of the frame to tear the toilet paper with one-handedly. Whereas
I also have two fucking hands
right?
when I use the bathroom.
Hey, what if my other hand's busy doing something else, like feeding
my mouth? I don't
want to
know what your
club
other hand's
sandwich.
Doing.
Oh God.
That's the problem here, Neil. Who's the real savage trying to multitask in the bathroom?
I don't have an issue tearing my toilet paper when it's over with one yeah. hand.
Have any of you guys yeah. ever grabbed toilet paper and it started rolling it down and then there was a bug on it? Because that's
what?
Happened to me before. So I feel like over, there's less likely a chance of a bug hiding under it.
So with the under... where the toilet paper goes straight down, there's a lot more room for a bug to just be attached than with an over.
Okay, here's my thing. You're going true. To see the bug more likely with the over because if there, it might have lower chances of being there, but the bug is going to be on the front as you're pulling it. The under, the bug might be hiding, but you won't see it before end. You yeah. do your work. So it doesn't matter.
Ew, no, that disturbs me.
sorry to interrupt earlier. What's the current Splatfest and what are you voting?
It's vampires versus werewolves, and I'm voting for a vampire.
I'm going to go werewolves.
So you're team Jacob?
That's the entire reason why I don't like this choice or this Splatfest, because of that connotation.
I think I'd much rather be Team Jacob than Team...
True, I kind of like... Jacob's kind of hotter,
Team possessive
but...
relationship
versus Team imprint on a infant.
So you're going with the infant. Wow.
At least that infant's got a choice. I'll just be there. I'll be her friend. I'll be whatever she needs me to be at that time. I'll be the father figure.
But ignoring the Twilight sensation that happened a few years ago, would your choice be vampire?
Yeah.
I'd still go werewolf. I like the idea of werewolf better than vampire.
Apparently someone didn't play Vampire the Masquerade.
Vampires live forever.
And I can be any kind of werewolf I want. There's all kinds of werewolves.
As someone that's afraid of the impending doom that is death and non-existence, I appreciate that So,
as someone who likes to hang out in the sun every once in a while, I appreciate the sun.
Ooh, fuck the sun. I like the sun. Damn it.
The sun is only there to give you appreciation for the night.
So that means I can just be normal person during the day and werewolf at night. Well, win-win.
Also, depending on what type of vampire you are, because I think in certain forms of literature, the pure vampire, which is like the head vampire, as opposed to like a lesser one that was made from that vampire, can be out during the day. But if we're going by like Transylvania style,
then he can't be out during the day.
Yeah.
Whereas, we could, like Preacher, you could dress up. Not Preacher, but his friend.
You could just skin your best friend and wear the skin, and then you'd be fine.
There you go.
And people would think you were that person. So even if your secret was lit out, you would be wearing someone else's skin.
That guy's a werewolf. That guy's a vampire. Well, shedding this skin, I'm going to kill that dude.
Well, yeah, yeah. So that's the trick. You also don't want to skin your best werewolf friend, because then... you're going to be mistaken for a werewolf instead.
That guy's a werewolf. No, I'm not a vampire. I'm human.
God, they keep trying to kill me with silver bullets, but they don't know that it doesn't work.
I am human.
Well, so let's talk about localhost for a bit. So this is one game I don't think you've been exposed to yet, Lizzie, but did you guys play any more of localhost?
Nope.
I'm trying to push Sierra to play it. I just need to... like get her downstairs, which is an ice box, so it's actually a bit of a challenge. But
space heaters.
So I was editing the two videos, and I'm kind of not sure if I'll still upload them or not. Certain parts, for certain reasons that I won't get into, but that little game sure is an interesting experience, shall we say.
I think that you're giving it a lot more hype and thought than I was giving it during my playthrough.
Yeah, and I think Scott also put more thought and seriousness into it, I'd say.
I put seriousness into it. It's just like, that's the way I roll, though. You give me an objective, and I'm going to go with that objective.
Yeah, yeah, no, I
first come, first serve. First come, first serve.
Oh, Cookie performed the objective?
He tried to, at least.
Didn't realize I couldn't betray.
He failed at it?
Didn't realize I couldn't betray a person after I made a promise.
So, and that's why I tried to warn you beforehand, you need to take your own words as truth whenever possible. But I think what you ended up doing was still kind of weird. Like, the writing in that game is not great. They could have done a great job at doing a bunch of things better and making things more clear. But yeah, Scott also had something come up where it seemed like he sympathized with one of the drives in a way that
I didn't.
In a way that, like, okay, yeah, I'm going to give you some time so I can go back and wipe you out later, sort of sympathy, right?
Yeah, but then it turned out that I just never wiped them.
Exactly.
Got fired.
So, localhost, as I referred to last episode, is about wiping hard drives. The catch is that in order to wipe these hard drives, you have to put them into a robot, and then they seem to have personalities or artificial intelligence.
Or they just might be human.
Yeah, it might be a human copy, a copy of someone's consciousness. And I played that quite a bit more and managed to get a different ending than what you guys got and what I've gotten previously. But ultimately, like... it's kind of a letdown, because I don't think there's anything you can do with the red drive. You either delete it or you fuck it up. There's no way to repair it. And the outcomes are more or less all the same. The only difference is that if you actually manage to perform your job correctly and doing so in a very ruthless way. Your boss is like, hey, great job wiping those drives. I'll see you tomorrow. And then your response is just, okay, see you then.
That's kind of what I was hoping for.
Yeah.
Wanted to do my job.
It took a couple tries to get to that point, but...
Made one mistake.
Like, I liked the idea of this game presenting you with this moral decision of these drives apparently seem to be conscious entities, at least when they're on. Do I really want to destroy them or delete them? But I honestly feel like the execution could have been maybe a little better.
They could have made me feel for the drives at all.
Did you not feel anything for the yellow drive?
Nope. Did Neo give you the yellow drive's character voice?
No, I let Cookie voice it. And I can't remember what your voice was for that now.
The yellow, he was a stoner. Because his first word was, whoa, dude.
He was some surly guy from New Jersey when Neil did him for me.
Yeah.
Whoa, what are you doing there? What are you doing? You got to talk to local. What you buying?
Stranger.
Okay, let's open up that hot pot, shall we? Lizzie's just giving this look.
That's our official hot pot sound. Shut up.
Hey guys, so guess what? The most exciting thing is happening. Skyrim's new survival mode is free the first week for the launch of Skyrim's Creation Club, i.e. paid mods.
And it's $8. But if you have to to buy it, you have to buy $15 worth of Bethesda credits or whatever. Creation Club credits.
Oh, no one needs to know that. Moving on to more important topics.
Literally anything else.
Oh my gosh.
If you haven't already seen the trailer from developer House House, there's a new game that Scott has codenamed Metal Goose Solid.
And that's not, I didn't come up with that on my own. I happened to see that below the video trailer. And
that Scott came up with on his own.
Yeah, I came up with it on my own. I'm not sharing credit with anybody. How did you guys feel about this? Like, this is worth at least talking about for half a second.
So I didn't actually watch the trailer, but based on what's been written down here, is it just I Am Bread? Or the
No, it's very different. Metal Goose Solid is a puzzle adventure game that has stealth elements in which you play as an asshole goose just trying to make a farmer's or a gardener's day like bad. He's just trying to ruin his day.
You have objectives like first and foremost, I think your first the big objective to begin with is getting into the garden. So you have to fool the gardener by doing things like maybe playing a radio and putting it someplace close by so he'll go and turn it
off.
He'll
hear it. Yeah. Oh my gosh. And the way that they like initiate it too, with the goose picking up the radio and it starts playing Debussy's minstrel's piece, like as soon as that happened, I was just in tears with excitement. It was so great. And while you're distracting your gardener, Cookie, you're trying to set elaborate traps. I mean, maybe not particularly elaborate, but certainly for a goose, in which you make him put on his dumb sun hat, or you get him wet with a sprinkler hose.
Or steal his keys. Or we didn't see a whole bunch of possible
things.
No,
we didn't
but
see a huge amount. You can start picking vegetables from his garden.
So you
help
him out.
It just looks like it
times
could be very fun. I'm looking forward to seeing what else they have, and if it's limited to the small garden space that we saw in the video, or if the garden's going to get bigger or more interactive.
Or if you get to go to places that are unfit, like unsuitable for a goose to begin with, like get into an office.
A goose or a gardener, yeah.
Oh, that'd be amazing. Okay, I'll have to check out the trailer.
Yeah, I think the trailer's at least worth watching, even if the game doesn't really amount to anything, that it's a great trailer.
I saw a screenshot of it, and I was like, oh, this is going to be interesting. And then you guys brought it up today. So I was like, okay, yeah.
Sweet.
This week, a handful of new titles came out for the Switch, some of which include Oxenfree, Darkest Dungeon, And also Stardew Valley.
I don't think Darkest Dungeon has actually come out. I just to note that I don't think we brought that up when it was news earlier. It will be coming out for the Switch, and they don't have a release date set yet, but it should be pretty soon.
But of those titles, Oxenfree and Stardew Valley.
Stardew Valley's coming out. Apparently multiplayer will be coming out in 2018.
Oh, sorry, I wasn't kidding. You didn't have to. That's fine.
Oh, but I actually did have a thought on the multiplayer coming out in 2018. First thing I need to care about is what the hell is the multiplayer going to be on the Switch in 2018?
I'm assuming it would at least be LAN, but are you wondering if it'll be couch co-op?
No, I'm wondering if it's going to be like if you got Stardew Valley and I got Stardew Valley, could we actually find each other, or is this going to be like 2K on the Switch where you can't make a lobby?
I can't speak for the lobby part, but I'm pretty sure that this game is going to involve joining someone else's world.
Okay, so there's got to be a friend code to or join a world,
something
possibly.
Like that, yeah. Because I don't necessarily think... Because
there's not that in 2K right now for the Switch.
Wait, do you have 2K for...
I don't, but I've been reading a lot of things, and people have been like, yeah, I can't play with my friends. Because it just randomly matches you up with people when you play online for the Switch.
I almost feel like maybe if you have a Nintendo Switch, you should not be buying 2K or Madden for the Switch.
We have to buy the third-party games, otherwise we'll just have another Wii situation on our hands, where they make games and then they stop because no one's buying them.
But if we buy the bad third-party games, not saying that you know NBA 2K or Madden is bad.
Any third-party games, Neil. Because then who's going to make games with like, oh, no one's buying these third-party games?
Okay, so answer me this question. What third-party games, ignoring Nindies, quote-unquote, are actually worth your time on the Switch?
What third-party games are there?
Bomberman R.
Is that third-party?
Yeah, that's Konami.
Oh.
They're not the developers, but they're the publishers. I know that for sure.
Was that any good?
I didn't play it, but
neither did
Bomber, Super Bomberman 2 is one of the best Super Nintendo games and was unfortunately shunned by the SNES Classic, but yes.
Yeah, I want to say there was some major flaws with Bomberman R, so I was like, I'm going to pass. So no, I'm not buying the third-party games, but somebody's got to buy them. You know, I'm not going to waste my money on a sports game for the Switch.
I just think that at this point in time, a CPU... or like resource-heavy game like Madden or NBA 2K 18 is, I guess, what we're on now.
Sure, maybe.
Like, they're never going to be successful on the Switch because they require resources that the Switch doesn't have.
But I can take my Nintendo Switch and to a skate park and play 2K 18 with skater guys.
Well, there's your problem. You should be playing Tony Hawk or whatever equivalent there is.
Skate 4, please. Or Skate 3. I'll take Skate 2. I'll take Skate.
Maybe that's the point. You have to buy a bunch of EA games. So not 2K, but you need to go buy Madden and continue buying EA games until they come out with Skate 4.
I'm down with this.
Yeah. Ugh. It's up to you.
I want Skate. I want Skate real bad.
Lizzie's just shaking her head.
Lizzie, you got to play Skate. Oh, it's so good. Oh, it's the best.
I've played it. I'm shaking my head because we are poor and can't be spending money on games you're not going to play.
But Skate, Lizzie. But Skate.
You could just sell the house and that would give you a lot of money.
A lot of Switch game money right there. A lot of Switch game money. I think we could even buy the entire Switch library at least two times.
Moving on. Destiny 2's specs for PC have been released, which surprisingly aren't that taxing or crazy. I brought this up because I'm curious, Scott, how likely is it for you to get Destiny 2 for PC?
Pretty unlikely.
Likely is it that you get Destiny 2 at all?
Pretty unlikely. Like, if I were to get it, it would be for the PC over the PlayStation, for sure.
Oh,
why?
Because PC's better.
But play with me and Lizzie.
Yeah,
that's what you said for Splatoon, and I bought it, and no one's ever played Splatoon with me yet.
Wow.
Because I never see you on.
Out. Yeah. Yeah, we should probably be better about organizing that. I just need to get a hit up in Slack, and I'll be there.
Okay.
So we need to invite Lizzie to Slack. Also,
yeah,
you should probably message me about some more Overwatch at some point. I'll say yes eventually.
Or about EU4.
Yeah, that's fine. I also haven't played Overwatch a bunch, and I think Cookie should get in on this EU4 madness.
You keep saying that, but then you guys are like, we're going to play some EU4, guys. It's like 9:45 p.m.
Yeah, it's always 8 in the morning otherwise. So
yeah,
you're going to play as France.
Or 7 in the morning for me. It's early. It's a commitment.
Neo is also coming to PC. Are you excited about that, Scott?
I am more excited about that, for sure. I like those types of games a little bit better. The difficult... I don't know. What would you say it's closest to? I guess, like...
Action RPG?
Dark Souls?
Bayonetta meets Dark Souls. Like, it's button mashing, but you also have to be really tight on the controls.
Is it button mashing?
So is it a Ninja Gaiden game, then?
It's a rhythmic battling with... pretty frequent button pressing.
So Samurai Gaiden.
Yeah, it's Ninja Gaiden. That's what it is.
Because I know those get very hard.
I might pick it up. There'll have to be a deal on it, but I'm definitely more likely to pick up Neo than, say, Destiny 2. And that's just because if I want to play a shooter on my PC,
you're going to be playing Fortnite?
A friend up for Halo, and we'll play since that's free.
I tried to like force the transition there.
Well, to follow up with last week's news and discussion and the week before that, Fortnite's ploy may be paying off now that they have more than 7 million players after the introduction of their Battle Royale mode.
So is that 7 million concurrent players or just 7 million people have bought the game?
7 million have bought the game.
Okay, yeah. Good, because I've got the game.
Or bought or downloaded the free version.
Because, I've got the game. I've played it once, and that's it.
I haven't been inspired to try out the Battle Royale mode.
No.
The fact that it's free probably also helps with the player base as well.
Just like the big spike that...
Yeah, it's a greater amount of accessibility than putting... Is it $40 down for PUBG?
I think... Isn't it less than that?
PUBG was... When did PUBG go 40 bucks?
Is it less than 30? Maybe it's 30?
I don't remember paying 40 bucks for PUBG.
You just stole it off of that dead guy.
Yeah.
Like you learned from The Long Dark. Thank goodness there's an unused Steam code on this person's body.
Oh, I'm sorry. PUBG is $30. I was completely mistaken.
It's okay. You know what else is going to be $40? I mean $30? Netflix is getting a rating, rising its prices.
Want to try that again?
Netflix is getting a new rating system. It's either thumbs up or thumbs down. Is it a thumbs up for that new rise in price?
It's a thumbs down. So the details on that is all of the prices are getting hiked.
Except
no
for
what service you're using.
Except for the base one. The base one is not getting hiked yet because that's what they did the third time they hiked the prices.
Separates the base price from the $10.99 price now?
Okay, so the basic service, which has the Netflix streaming, only works for one screen and it doesn't allow for any sort of HD or Ultra HD viewing. No HD viewing even.
Oh, that's
and then
shit.
The standard service, which is now going to be $10.99 up from the $9.99, is you can stream shows in HD on up to two screens, and then the premium service allows up to four screen viewing with the HD and Ultra HD content access, and that'll be $14, $13.99.
So
these price changes are probably because, one, they can do it, and who doesn't like extra profit? But two, they'll probably start putting that profit into higher production value, and we may see more going into Netflix originals.
Like more Neo Yokio.
Yeah. I think I'm still going to watch it. I think that the humor is worth burning
the
like
humor?
20 mindless minutes on... I thought some of it was funny, Cookie.
Okay.
No.
They're like, well, this is a dumpster fire. We should probably raise our prices to help cover that.
Before we start talking about things to watch, the last bit of news we have on the docket is that a new version of the PSVR is coming.
So watch out for that.
It's more streamlined. It's got a headphone jack in the back instead of on the cord.
Yep, and oh well, actually,
on the side,
aren't there headphones now included?
Oh, built in, yeah, that's what it is. Maybe I don't know.
And then the biggest change is that the processor unit will no longer disable HDR. So something that should have been in the original is now here.
Yeah,
you always save the fixes for second generation.
I'm excited to see an actual new headset come out from someone, but I don't know why. I still have like some weird antagonistic views on the Oculus.
Well, that makes sense. It makes sense and it doesn't make sense at the same time.
Yeah, it totally doesn't make
sense. Palmer did us wrong with some of the shit that he was pulling around that time.
Someone was saying the other day, and I don't know if this is true, is there VR porn now?
Yes, kind of. I don't know if it's out, but yes.
Is there a difference between interactive VR porn and non-interactive VR porn?
Right, like, is it interactive?
I wouldn't doubt
it. Is this like a thing?
If it's interactive, that would mean to say that it goes beyond moving your head, right?
Yeah.
And getting the different views.
I don't know. If you got a properly heighted table and a flashlight with a little
assuming you're using like a controller or maybe just one Joy-Con move controller or whatever the other things are for Oculus or
the Oculus Touch, the HTC Wand. I don't know what that one's called.
Regardless, whatever you do with your free hand is your own at your own discretion.
That's why you've taped the fleshlight to the table.
Well, I'm hands asking free. These things because I know that there exists video like porn videos that then can be used with headsets.
They were doing it at the E3 last year and the year before that.
There were a couple articles on it. And weird. But like all you can do at that point is look around and look and see if you can see, you know, where the video stops and you just see darkness.
Oh.
That sort of weird stuff, you know? Or obviously you can look at the porn itself too. That's what it's there for. but for specifically VR games that are porn,
I don't think so.
I don't know. Like, does it count if you mod
a Flash VR game? A Flash?
What's the Dead or Alive? Dead or Alive Extreme?
Oh, Dead or Alive Extreme Beach Volleyball 3. Are you talking about Double X Rumble Roses? No, Rumble
How
Roses.
How do
Double
you
X.
Know?
No,
this?
No one plays Rumble Roses. Okay, but Dead or Alive Extreme 3. Right. I remember that there was like a glitch or something causing girls to lose their swimsuits underwater or something. Like, didn't we not talk about this at some point? Maybe it was like not during the podcast standard, but
I don't remember that, but I don't doubt that there was that. Would it be a glitch or a mod?
That's a PC game, right? So it's obviously going to be moddable. And so, yes, I would say yes, those exist now.
Mm.
Tell your friend the hot take that he or she will no longer be lonely.
Oh God. Sorry, that was random.
It's okay.
Just thought of it. We were
you know, sometimes we just got to talk about porn.
So at this point in the show, I was going to actually bring up, speaking about porn, our next Omake watch along.
But that got X'd, and that's okay.
Unless you guys really want to watch Neo-Yokio, I'm pretty sure Lizzie's going to.
Lizzie can't tolerate that being in her house.
Yeah, I think we're going to X this, but I did have a new suggestion in mind. So everyone here, with the exception of me, and I guess you didn't necessarily watch it all the way through, but would you be interested in doing Stranger Things season 2?
Yes.
Cookie's a scaredy cat.
So I also have to watch the entire first season 2, so you're not alone.
Well, I've already kind of finished
You've
the first
seen
season.
Seen parts of it.
Yeah.
Okay. So Sierra wants me to rewatch all of the first season to remember what's going on. Because I said, I don't remember anything.
And then you told her that you guys need to finish JoJo, right?
Why? We already saw parts 1, 2, and 4. We just got to wait for 5 to come out.
And while you're waiting for 5 to come out, you know, Steven Universe.
Yeah, I'm actually catching back up on that.
Oh my gosh.
Which
when
is
does it
great.
Come back on?
We don't fucking know.
Rebecca Sugar.
Stop like releasing 7 episodes in like 7 days and then going on a 4-month hiatus.
In the meantime, you can enjoy like 3 episodes of Bee and Puppy Cat that have taken years to come out.
So I watched the proper quote unquote TV episodes or whatever you want to call them, not the pilot. And I feel like that show does not have nearly as much charm as the pilot did.
Of Bee and Puppy Cat?
Yeah.
I haven't seen the other 3 episodes. I've seen the pilot and I was like, yeah.
The pilot is great. I like the pilot probably the best, but I'm already interested. So, and I mean, really, what kind of investment of time is like 10 minutes? That's nothing.
That's 10 minutes I could be putting towards Yuri on Ice or Gintama.
I mean, it's 10 minutes that I would otherwise put towards Neo Yokio, and Cookie and Lizzie definitely don't approve of that.
No. Nope.
So. I was about to say, if you, like I said, if you really want to watch Neo Yokio, I've sat through... Have I sat through worse content?
you did watch Gamers, so...
But at Gamers least Gamers had some had a, production value.
Yeah,
the last episode
funniness.
Was the hottest garbage.
I think Neo Yokio's entire production value went to the stars that they have.
Pretty much. The last episode of Gamers was the DLC Hate Fest.
The Hot Springs one.
Oh, yeah.
Where they were just like, and DLC is kind of like this. That and she's like, kinda... sign me up. I want to dress my boyfriend up in extra clothing and shit. Yeah.
You know what would be a great way to save some money and satisfy fans? Let's have some still frames, some panning still frames on the girls naked while they're talking. So we don't have to animate their mouths, but we can also get the fans a hard on, I guess.
Fans yeah. serviced.
Fans.
Oh, God.
Anime is fucking bad. Wrong.
Yep.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of that episode.
When does Stranger Things come out?
I think it's this month.
October 27th.
Okay, so if you want to maybe do the first three it's episodes of Neo Yokio for the omake.
I mean, we don't have to do an omake. If the omake is mandatory, it's no longer extra like that.
Therefore, it's no longer the omake.
So if you want to do three episodes of Neo Yokio to see how you guys feel about this, because I kind of started the second episode. I think I finished the second. I don't know. Was just the exorcism
for the first. Oh my God, you've gotten farther than I have, and you're the one who doesn't like it.
Because I started the first one, and I was like, okay, this is awful. And then I was bored, and I was like, okay, I at least have to finish this fucking like story that's going on. This is still very awful. It's too generic for me to get really like get into, and that's like the main thing. I'm here for
it seems to be ironically generic, though. Like, I think that's part of the reason I'm enjoying it, is it seems like it's an anime fan's meta joke of very
but
generic
I don't...
Liz is just constantly shaking her head this whole time.
No.
I don't feel that when I was watching that first episode. I'm just like, damn, Jaden Smith is a horrible voice actor. Like,
maybe... I feel like maybe Jaden Smith is the only person not in on the joke. Like he thinks it's actually a really serious anime, and everybody else is just like, yeah, you keep thinking that, Jaden. Remember, file it under comedy. It is not a drama.
And maybe I'm getting too much drama-y vibe from it. I'm just like, yeah. This is... But like, the art style's too generic for me. Even that's generic.
Is it like Totally Spies bad? Don't ask how I've seen that.
No, Totally Spies is better. Totally Spies art style has some kind of flavor to it. This is just, there's a robot who looks like Megatron, like OG white, all white Megatron, who's a British butler.
It's Jude Law, yeah.
If you have comments, questions, or corrections, or even concerns, you can write in podcast@fancyramen.com.
And if you've been enjoying the show, leave a review with us on Apple Podcasts, iTunes.
But more important than even a review is tell your friends about us. We need to help grow our audience through word of mouth. There's no better way to tell a friend how much you care about them than introducing them to your favorite podcast.
And also probably your second favorite Fancy Ramen podcast, guys.
Yeah, your second favorite Fancy Ramen podcast.
I'm Neil.
I'm Cookie.
I'm Scott.
And I'm Lizzie.
Smooth.
Bye.
The music used in this episode of the Fancy Ramen Podcast is from the soundtrack Cuphead, composed by Chris Madigan, developed by Studio MDHR. It's a fucking great game. You should be playing it right now.